And we read from verse 41 to verse 48. Psalm 119, verse 41 through to verse 48. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually for ever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Amen. May the Lord give us understanding as we have read his word. Well, tonight we come to verse 42. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. Dear congregation, whilst you are surrounded by your enemies, assaulted by the devil, look up to the Lord and trust in him. The psalmist said in Psalm 56, verse 4, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. In the battle, focus your eye on your deliverer and trust his word. Well, last time we considered David's prayer for the salvation of the Lord to come. He is mindful of his enemies that were around, and he prays, as we noted in verse 41, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word. He was focused. He was praying that the Lord would come to his aid, that the Lord himself would come. And dear brothers and sisters, do not we pray such when we're in straits, that the Lord will come to our aid, that the Lord himself would come and stand alongside us and support us. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation. Now he was in expectation of it, or the Lord himself, for he knew it would come, he would come, in accordance to the word in which he was trusting. Just notice verse 42, it follows on from verse 41. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. He was trusting in the Lord and his word. And therefore he was in expectation that God would come, that deliverance would be afforded to him. Well, in view of his enemies, the psalmist could respond to them. They derided him, but he could respond, for he was trusting in the word. But the Lord was not unmindful of him. Salvation came. The Lord stood by him. The Lord answered those that reproached him. Well, let's come directly then to verse 42. First of all, tonight, the reproach of the enemy. Secondly, the trust of the believer. And then thirdly, the answer of the Lord. The reproach of the enemy, the trust of the believer, and the answer of the Lord. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. Now it's important to note the connection between verse 41 and verse 42. So when we go through these things tonight, we'll go back to verse 41 and consider one or two things there to help us to have in focus what the psalmist is thinking of here and how he so earnestly is found trusting in the word. Well, first of all then, the reproach of the enemy. Now in the third psalm and verse 2 we read this, the psalm of David when he fled from Absalom his son. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Verse 2. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. They rose up against him with cutting words. And there were many wielding their tongues as sharp swords. It was a difficult time for the psalmist. There was a time when he faced such reproach each and every day. In Psalm 42 verse 10 we read, as with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproached me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? He often heard that question. Where is thy God? They were reproaching him. Look at him. Where is his God? What a situation he is in. Where is the help going to be? Well, it often occupied David's mind and it wore him down. He faced then the reproach of men. We have the word here, reproacheth or reproach. They railed against him. They defamed him. We could say they slandered him. What a weak and worthless man he is. How they defamed him. So spake cruelly against him. He's not to be followed or relied upon. He was reproached. Look at him. Don't go with him. Look at all that he's facing. It's not going well for him. Dear brothers and sisters, do not be surprised if your enemies speak against your good name. You're looking to the Lord, you're seeking to live for him, you're trusting in him and his word, yet there are those who speak against you. Look at the situations they're facing. Look how it is for them, trial after trial. It doesn't seem to go well for them. Don't go with them, don't listen to them. They may belittle you and count you as worthless. And that's not easy to bear. You know they can be polite to you in your face, but what is said behind your back? I remember a certain gentleman, he used to talk about me. And he would come to me and he would speak against me, and he thought I was useless, a waste of space. And I used to have to go into work each day for a number of weeks, and I would try to avoid this man because I knew what he felt of me, felt concerning me. And he would say it to others. They will mock you. They will deride you. They will mock you and your faith in God. Don't go with that person. Remember what was said about Hezekiah by Rabshakeh, who was sent by King of Assyria, Sennacherib. 2 Kings 18 verse 29, thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. What words spoken against Hezekiah? He was trying to stir up the people. Hezekiah has deceived you. You're not going to know deliverance. Don't trust Hezekiah. Don't trust the Lord. How they speak against Hezekiah. And there'll be those speaking against you. Don't take what they say as truth. Ignore it. It's old fashioned. There'll be those that will reproach you. Sometimes it may be such cutting words that are said against you, and you may face such hurt within your heart. Psalm 57 verse 4, my soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. How they speak! Have you been observing how certain ones in Parliament have been speaking to each other? Sometimes they're so horrid, aren't they? So strong in their words. But we face such, do we not? How they can disturb our minds. Such words can cultivate doubts within our hearts. How people can speak against us. But then consider the whisperings of Satan. Just a little whisper. It's not worth it. Look what's happening to the church in this country. It's not worth it. Don't be so straight. Don't be so faithful. How he speaks against us. Now before we move on, remember your master and what he suffered here upon earth. You recall those words in Hebrews 12 verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. When you're struggling, remember your Saviour. You may be in the workplace and you know there's somebody speaking against you. Just pause and remember Jesus, what he suffered for you. We're exhorted to remember it. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. We have there that word contradiction. What does it mean? Opposition. Rebellion. How people opposed him. We will not have this man to reign over us. How they rebelled against him. They spake against him. They would not do what he said. How they railed on him at Calvary. In Mark 15 verse 27 we read this. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves of the scribes, he saved others, himself he cannot save. that Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. Those that passed by, then there were the chief priests talking amongst themselves. And then to begin with, both thieves railed on Jesus. What he faced minute after minute as he was there at Calvary. How he was treated. His followers will hear certain hurtful things in their ears. Oh, remember Jesus. Do not be surprised, therefore, if you suffer. But before we move to our second point, remember again what our Lord said in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Blessed, says our Lord. What, blessed? Yes, we are. Because the Lord identifies us. When you're spoken against, remember your great reward because of grace. Heaven awaits, and no hurtful words will penetrate into that place. You'll never once be disturbed by such reproach in heaven. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. You know, when we suffer, consider this. The Lord identifies you. You're on your way to heaven. Let it be even an aid to assurance. Oh, remember what Jesus said. Focus on the future. It will pass. But as we see here, at such times, be so focused on God and his word. Well, let's move on and consider, secondly, the trust of the believer. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. Now we note in verse 41, his expectation of God's salvation was founded not only on God's favour or mercy, but also God's word. He was in expectation that salvation would come. Why? Firstly, because of God's favour and or mercy. Verse 41, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation. And then secondly, because of the word, according to thy word. He was in expectation. You see his focus there in verse 41. Well, in verse 42, it hasn't changed. His focus is on the word. He was trusting in God's word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. Now, at least one commentator immediately directs us to the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 42. For I trust in thy word. He is the word, as we see in John chapter 1. The special object of faith, for through him there is salvation. Acts 16 verse 30. However, we particularly consider here the word, the scriptures, which is the general object of faith. We think of the special object of faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, but then the general object of faith is the word, or the whole of the word of God. For I trust in thy word. And this is seen firstly in 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. See, they were believing. They were believing the word. Yes, they believed in Christ alone for salvation. But we know there they were believing the word. When Paul was before Felix Acts 24, verse 14, he said, "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." Believing. There's Paul. He's trusting in the word. The whole of the word of God is the general object of faith. Listen to the Westminster Confession of Faith. "By this faith a Christian believes to be true whatsoever is revealed in the word, for the authority of God himself speaketh therein, and acts differently upon that which each particular passage thereof contains, yielding obedience to the commands, trembling at the threatenings, and embracing the promises of God for this life, and that which is to come." Dear brethren, we believe the scriptures. We don't question the scriptures. We believe the scriptures. We believe in creation because God has spoken of it in his word. We believe in sin. We know it all too well through experience. But consider firstly, we believe in sin because of the scriptures, and then judgment and hell. What a thought that is. There is that place called hell. And the fires are burning in that place in accordance to the word. There's sin, there's judgment, there's hell. But then there is the gospel, life and heaven. We believe the scriptures. What a blessing to believe the scriptures. To believe the truth of the gospel. That Christ came into the world to save sinners. To believe the truth that there is eternal life through him and heaven awaits. That's a comfort, isn't it? When we're reproached, we've already touched on this, we can look up to heaven and consider our great reward. We believe in the word of God. Notice the psalmist here, "For I trust in thy word." The Puritan Thomas Watson wrote, "Belief of scripture is of high importance. Learn to realise scripture. Get your hearts wrought to a firm belief of it." It's of great importance. What confusion came through the universities in Germany. The higher criticism. How Spurgeon had to take a stand. We stand, do we not, in these days, for the truth of the word. From Revelation, rather from Genesis through to Revelation. We believe it to be inspired by God. The full plenary inspiration of the scriptures. What do we read here? "For I trust in thy word." Not just a little portion, but the whole of it. Thomas Manton speaking here writes, "The ground of David's comfort. For I trust in thy word." And when you face the wicked words of men scorning you, don't follow that person. Look what's happening to them. Don't trust them. Don't trust the one they call Jesus. What a comfort to pause and think of the word. It's true. "For I trust in thy word." Now the act of trust here, as Manton points out, is spoken of with respect to a twofold object. The act of trust here is spoken of with respect to a twofold object. The word and God. Now we particularly focus on the word. But did you notice it there? The psalmist is focusing upon God and his word. Let's note this here. "For I trust in thy word." See the two objects there? God and his word. He's looking to the Lord. Psalm 119 verse 88. "Quicken me after thy loving kindness. So shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth." He's focusing on the Lord. And he thinks then of the word that's come from the lips of God. We were believing the word. We're looking to the Lord. And is it not a precious time? when we come to the Word and our mind is focused on the Lord. And we recognise that the Lord is speaking to us. For I trust in my Word. The Lord's spoken to the psalmist and the psalmist is responding. Is it not a great blessing that the Lord speaks to us? And we respond, for I trust in my word. The focus is on the Lord. He's spoken. We have the word before us. There's a sense of God. Oh, it's my prayer for you that every time you come to the word of God, you might have a sense of God. Thy word. Oh, to focus on him. To look to him. Before we come to the word, to pray that the Lord would strengthen our faith as we come to the Word of God. You know, it's a fault, isn't it, when we consider worship. It's not only when we sing and when we pray, but it's also when we come to the Word that is read and the Word that is preached. We're looking to the Lord. Lord, thou art speaking to me, and I'll respond in praise. Lord, strengthen my faith. Cause me to focus my eye, that I might look to thee in my Word. That I might not just read the words, I might be listening to thee. There's a twofold object here. For I trust in thy word. Oh, to be hanging on to the words of God. To be listening to God. You know, when we have that in focus, it makes all the difference, doesn't it? Ah, the Lord's speaking to me. And what a comfort and affliction when we're facing the cruel mockings of men. The Lord is speaking to me. There are the promises. We believe God's word. We believe the Lord and his word. We believe God's word concerning his grace, mercy, love and salvation. Notice verse 41 again. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. For I trust in thy word. He's thinking of God's salvation coming in a gracious and merciful way. And he believes the scriptures that it will come. Consider again the Lord Jesus Christ. We look to the word. We focus on God's salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe that the Lord will come. I trust in thy word. Think of the salmon that go against the tide as they seek to go upriver. Sometimes for the Christian, they're going against the tide. But oh, they can look to the Lord. The Lord has said this, and I believe it. Everything's against me, but the Lord has said this, and so I believe. The world may laugh at you for saying such, but oh, you focus on the Lord. Consider what God teaches us of his holy and most holy and wise providence. We believe it. We believe those words in Romans 8 verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. We know those words. We focus on the Lord. Lord, thou art speaking to me and I believe it. All things. Even the things that cause me to shed many a tear. Even those things that seem to so silence me. Even those things that perplex me. Those things in which I am confused. All things. You know, there are the clouds that come around us. But all we look up to the sun. And we rest in God's most holy and wise providence. All things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. What rich promises there. We think of God's most holy and wise providence. And we can be assured that the Lord is so acting in such a special way. For we are the called. The psalmist believed the scriptures concerning God's providence. And so he could say in Psalm 57 verse 2, I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. We believe in what God's word tells us about his right hand, his power and his almighty strength to help us. Those familiar words in Isaiah 41 verse 10. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. The Lord speaks. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And we believe in God's word. What did the psalmist say? For I trust in thy word. Lord, thou hast spoken. Thou art with me. Thou wilt hold my right hand. Thou wilt strengthen me. Thou wilt uphold me. I believe the truth. I believe what thou art saying to me. My enemies are many, but I'm listening to thy small, still voice in the word. We believe. You know, it's a precious thing, isn't it, just to sit down with the Bible and commune with God. They're the precious times, aren't they? To sit down with the Bible and commune with God and take that great comfort that the Lord is speaking. When we consider the promises, they're for us because of his grace and because of our wonderful Saviour. My enemies may be many and they're speaking against me, but I'm trusting in thy word. We believe the scriptures that we will be delivered. Psalm 34 verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Lord, thou hast promised. And I will not question thy promise. And so I'm in expectation. Deliverance will come. David, he was in expectation. He was believing the word. Salvation will come. Deliverance will be afforded. We believe in the word that in the storms of life, we will know a time of calm and we will be brought to our desired haven. Psalm 107 verse 29. He maketh the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. And we believe it. He will calm the storm. And he will bring us to our desired haven. Maybe a time of rest here below. Certainly when we get to heaven. What a desired haven is heaven. He will calm the storm. Or maybe struggling in the storm. You think of the weather out in America at this time. It's quite warm here compared to America. It's minus 40 in certain parts. Well, I was listening to a report that in a few days' time in Chicago, it will be 10 degrees. From nearly minus 40 to 10 degrees, and the Lord will bring it about. You may be struggling in a winter storm in your life, but you believe the scriptures. You will be brought to a calm, to a desired haven. He's David, he's surrounded by his enemies, he's in a battle, he's in a storm. I trust in thy word. We believe in what is written about our Redeemer, that he will carry us. Isaiah 63 verse 9, in all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. He carried them. That's a great comfort, is it not, to focus on this. Your Saviour is carrying you at this very moment. You know, sometimes we do not recognise it. For a number of years I was held by my mother as a baby. I can't remember being held by my mother as a baby. And when I was a baby, There were many a time when I didn't sense I was being held, when I was fast asleep. The times when we may not sense it, but we believe it, even when we're fast asleep, even when we cannot concentrate, even when we're so weary and worn down, we believe the Lord Jesus Christ is carrying us, for I trust in thy word. I may feel my loneliness, I may feel my own, in the workplace, in the college, the school, so many speaking against me, but I believe Jesus is carrying me. And I believe in God's word, he will carry me all the way. For I trust in thy word. Is it not a great comfort and blessing when through the help of the Holy Spirit we arrive at this point, our eyes focused in the storm, and we're believing God and his word. What a blessing to sit down in affliction when our enemies speak against us, and to believe the scriptures. It's such a comfort, isn't it? It's a challenging day, but this book we have before us is God's word. God speaks to us. The promises are yea, the promises are for us. What bliss awaits! For I trust in thy word. Turn a deaf ear to the whisperings of Satan and the reproach of men who account you as worthless and say you're pathetic for trusting the Bible. Turn away, turn a deaf ear and listen to God and go on. Well, thirdly and finally, the answer of the Lord. The answer of the Lord. Now one may say, is it not the psalmist's answer? What I suggest is the answer of the Lord. Verse 42. Well, read verse 41 as well. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. He's making his plea in verse 41 that God's salvation would come, that God would help him. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. It's the answer of the Lord the psalmist is waiting for. Send mercy, Lord. Let thy salvation come, and that will be an answer to my enemies. Listen to Matthew Henry. When God saves those out of their troubles who trusted in him, he effectually silences those who would of shame the counsel of the poor. Now consider again the enemies who spake against the psalmist, Psalm 42 verse 10. As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Where is the Lord? And the Lord came and silenced David's enemies. Mercy was known, favour was shown to the psalmist, the Lord gave the answer. Where is thy God, they said to David. Look at the situation you're in. And God appeared for David. What could they say? God gave the answer, he showed favour, and God came himself. The Lord gives the answer. There may be those who say you're in a hopeless situation, you're deceived, but then the Lord comes and supports you, delivers you in time. You know you're not deceived. You know there's many an enemy who's been silenced by the Lord. They fought on you. Look at that situation. Surely they're going to give up soon. But the Lord comes and supports you, and they're silent. There's that Christian again. I thought by now they would have stopped praying, but now they're rejoicing. And they're telling me about the gospel again. Many an enemy has been silenced. The Lord gives the answer. He will make good his promises. How many think the church will just get smaller and smaller in this country? It's relegated to the past, many think. The Lord will give the answer. Many an enemy has been silenced one day. All the enemies of Christ will be silenced. On that great day, the Lord, they will know that the Lord has come in for his people. The enemies reproach, but the Lord gives the answer. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in my word. Satan may whisper, look at your situation. It's getting worse for you. You're worn out. You're struggling. God will give the answer to you. He will strengthen you because he has promised. He will help you because he has promised. He will continue with you because he has promised. The Lord gives the answer. The Lord will give the answer to your enemies. The Lord will give the answer to you. Turn a deaf ear to Satan. It's not easy when we face the reproach of men. But can I lovingly say, try to turn your ear and focus on the Lord and his word. And say to the Lord, I trust in thy word. Well, the enemies reproached David, but the Lord gave the answer. And dear brothers and sisters, the Lord has and the Lord will give the answer. Your enemies sooner or later will be silenced. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us to simply trust him and his word. You know we do, don't we? We're believers. We're believing in Jesus. We believe the whole word of God. Oh, just for that exercise. That exercise of faith. When I'm in the storm, Lord, just to trust thee and thy word. Amen. Let us pray.